Let's turn in our Bible to Revelation 21. I've been studying this book a lot, and it's amazing to me. The fulfillment of all prophecy in the Bible, the fulfillment of all God's promises, the revelation of Jesus Christ, not John the Divine, as it might say in the heading. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. But as soon as you get there, I'm going to pray, and we'll get into it. And I'll pray for the fathers in this church and in the world. So let's pray. Father, I thank you once again for allowing me to open your word and speak. I pray, God, that as soon as I start speaking, that people won't hear me or be distracted by me, but think about you and the truth of your word. God, help them to test what I say by your word and not come to any sudden conclusions, but take it home and study it for themselves. I pray, God, that you'd bless the fathers of this church and all those who are your children, all the saved men, all the saved fathers. I pray you'd bless them and strengthen them. Help them, Lord, to have victory over this world. I pray that for these fathers in Everett, God, that that you would give them victory over the temptations in Everett and help them to lead their family and provide for their family and thus giving you glory because you provide for us. And I pray, God, that you would help them to tear down the strongholds that Satan has built up in this town and that many more will hear the gospel because of them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Revelation 21. Let's begin in verse 1. I want to talk to you this morning about the seven new things in the eternal kingdom. Because it's Father's Day. In the eternal kingdom of our Father. Of the Father. Amen. So I hope you belong to the eternal Father. I hope you can look up to heaven and say, Father. Not just look up and have a confused worry in your heart like I did. I remember looking up into heaven as a lost man and being, wow, amazed. It was amazing to look into heaven. But I couldn't say Father. I couldn't look up to heaven and know that I had a relationship with Him. He was so far away and mysterious. So I hope this morning you have a personal relationship with God. All right, so I'm going to look at seven new things to us we've never experienced before. If you're saved, if you belong to God, you're going to experience these seven new things. The book of Revelation, you can divide into seven parts. The seven churches, the seven sealed book, the seven trumpets, the seven personages, the seven vials, the seven dooms, and the seven new things. It's an amazing book. Seven, the number of completion. How many days were creation? Seven. How many continents are there? How many oceans are there? How many years does it take for your body to redo all your cells? Seven. It could be a coincidence. Revelation 21, let's begin. The first new thing for the believer is the new heaven. Verse 1. And I saw a new heaven. Water. A river of life is coming up. Oh, that's good water. All right. The new heaven. Heaven is the space, the atmosphere. There's three. There's the heaven that we're breathing right now, where the birds fly. There's a heaven where the stars are. And the third heaven is where God dwells. Now, this heaven that we live in now is going to pass away. Look at Genesis. Keep your place in Revelation 21. Put a bookmark or a pencil or something. And go to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at the origin of these new things. Might as well just tell them all to you now. The new heaven, the new earth, the new city, the new temple, the new light, the new water, and the new food. Seven new things in the eternal kingdom. The new heaven. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Let's look at the beginning of the heaven that we experience today. Verse 1, Genesis 1:1. says, in the beginning God created the heaven. Now go to verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. So God made the heaven and filled it with stars and filled it with the, well, put the sun and the moon in there. And the stars were there for signs and for seasons. Well, if you remember when Jesus was born, there was a star, wasn't there? It was a sign to those who had traveled from the east, Daniel's country, who was familiar with Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks, knew when the Messiah was born, and saw that sign that God put in there in the sky, in the heavens. And there's many signs in the last days with stars falling. Remember that in the book of Revelation? Stars falling to the earth. So God put stars in the heaven that we live in now for signs and for seasons, for days and years. But in the new heaven, there's not going to be days and years and night, because there will be no night. And so the time of our heaven, God doesn't need it anymore. The stars have served their purpose. The heaven has served its purpose. There will be a new heaven. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, right before 1 John. Talking about the end of our current heaven, or the three heavens. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. Talking about how unbelievers mock and say, where is your God? Where is the promise of the fathers? In verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. Some people think the promise of the Bible of Christ's return is not going to be fulfilled. But the Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why God's waiting. And some people would think He's being slack, or His promise is not going to be fulfilled. He's just waiting. He's long-suffering for His human beings to repent, come back to Him. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. When folks are busy watching TV, going to sporting events, and watching American Idol, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and taken by surprise. In the which the heaven shall pass away. There it is. The heaven shall pass away with great noise. So this heaven that we live in right now will pass away. There will be a new heaven. Back to Revelation 21. A new heaven with no smog in it. Beautiful. Perfect. And it won't be filled with the glory of sun and moon and stars. It will be full of the glory of Jesus Christ alone. He'll be enough to lighten the entire new heavens and earth. Now, there will be a new earth, secondly. Back to verse 1 of chapter 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea, said the fisherman. He was on the Isle of Patmos. I'm sure he was glad there would be no more sea. Anyway. Okay. So there will be a new earth. See, this earth that we're living on is cursed. Look at... Hold your place there. Go to Genesis chapter 3. There will be a new earth. So it's good to take care of the environment, but don't go overboard. This earth is going to be burned up. Serious global warming. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17. Is that right? Unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, from dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. The earth is cursed. And man is cursed with the stressful duty of providing for the home. As you see there, the earth is cursed for his sake. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. So Adam was given the responsibility to break up the hard ground, to fight through the thorns and thistles and the stress of work and provide for his family. And men have had to do that ever since. And it's just our calling to provide for our family. But this earth will pass away, and we're going to live on an earth that will no longer be cursed. Look at the last part of 2 Peter 3. You were there just a moment ago. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up." This earth will be burned up. And if you belong to God through Jesus Christ, you will live on a new earth. Look at verse 11. John's going to start preaching. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? Seeing that Safeco Field and Seahawks Stadium and the movie theater and all these things will be dissolved and yard sales will be gone." And I can't hit it all. "All these things shall be dissolved. How ought you to live knowing that all these things you see with your eyes are going to be gone? Seeing then all these things should be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God?" That should be our mindset, knowing all these things are going to pass away. The coming of the day of God. Okay, there will be a new earth. And notice that when God cursed the earth, when Adam sinned, He said thorns and thistles will come. And when Jesus died on the cross, He was wearing a crown of thorns, because He took upon Him the curse of Adam's race. And through Christ, we will live on an earth with no curse. We can overcome death and the curse through Jesus Christ who bore it for us. Hey, there will be a new heaven, beautiful, with the glory of Christ. We'll get there. A new earth, a new city. Look back at Revelation 21. We're going to pick things up a little bit in Revelation. Revelation 21 and verse 2. A new city. It says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband." Remember Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you"? Well, this is it. Verse 3. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Did you catch that? It didn't say God shall take away or evaporate their tears. He shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Can you imagine the hand that was pierced touch your face and wipe your tears away? I believe what the Bible says. It says God shall wipe away all tears. And there should be no more death. No more cancer. No more car accidents. No more shootings. No more old age. No more dying from old age. No more suicide. No more death. I guess the news companies will go out of business. There will be no news. No Como News 4. That's right. What you need to know happens here. They say, "All you need to know, Como 1000. That's pretty that's got a lot of pride there. All you need to know. Anyway. Okay, no more death, neither sorrow. He was the man of sorrows. He bore our sorrows on the cross. Nor crying. There's a lot of reasons to cry, but not in the presence of Christ in the new city. No crying. Neither shall there be any more pain." No pain. Can you imagine that? I hear when you get older, there's some pains. Mm-hmm. Yes. Just what I hear. And a lot of things give people pain, but there's no pain with Christ in the New Jerusalem. For the former things, all those things, sorrow, crying, death, pain, they're all passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. Kind of sounds like it is finished, doesn't it? On the cross, it is finished, He says. And here He says, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega. Those are the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet, meaning everything comes forth from Christ. He is the Creator. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh, verse 7, shall inherit all things. Ready for a happy Father's Day blessing? I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, the fearful, those who do not trust in God and have the confidence and assurance and peace of God, and unbelieving, the reject Christ, and the abominable, those who are abhorrent to God, and murderers, even murderers of the heart, those who hate others, and whoremongers, those who have sexual relations outside of marriage, and sorcerers, those involved in witchcraft, and Ouija boards, and that even includes drug use, and idolaters, those who desire other people's belongings, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I had a part there in the lake of fire reserved with my name on it. But the Bible says that Christ died for my sins. And I was dead, but now I'm alive through Christ. Verse 9, And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, the new city, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes, the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, the 12 tribes, and the 12 apostles of the Lamb. God did not do away with Israel. There is a part, the Bible says in Romans 9-11, describes God's plan for the nation of Israel and for His Gentile believers. It says, blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So there's a part there for the nation of Israel and for the Gentile bride. Look at verse 15. And he talked with me, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. That's pretty long. That's 1,500 miles. The New Jerusalem is 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles up. That is from the length, that is longer than taking I-5 from Canada to Mexico. That's 1,300 miles from Canada to Mexico on I-5. The New Jerusalem is longer and wider and higher. Amen.
Amen.
Look at verse 17. And he measured the wall thereof, 140 and 4 cubits. By the way, the New Jerusalem is 12,000 furlongs long and 12,000 words long, Book of Revelation. Exactly 12,000. That's just another coincidence. Look at verse 18. The building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, a chalcedony, the fourth, an emerald. To you jewelers, you can correct me on the pronunciation later. The fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, a chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, a topaz, the tenth. Can someone pronounce that one for me? Brother Robert, can you help me out with that one? The tenth, yeah, amen, that's good. Good. The 11th, a jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Not made of pearl, they were pearl. Gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it was transparent glass. That's the new city. And all those emeralds and diamonds, all the gold, reflects the glory of Christ. And if you go, I'll just refer to you Joshua 15, verse 8. The first is a mention of Jerusalem when it was conquered by Joshua and the armies. I believe it was the Jebusites. It was a small Canaanitish nation that built Jerusalem, and it was conquered. But Jerusalem today only has 800 some thousand people, and it's big enough for people today. But if all the believers through history were to be raised from the dead, there wouldn't be enough room. So the new Jerusalem, God made enormous, so all the believers through history can live there. And remember, Jesus said, "I prepare a place for you with mansions." Amen. It'll be a marvelous place. In Job 19, it talks about... go to Job chapter 19. I'm going to show you what's going to happen. From Adam until the second coming, all those who are in the ground, their bodies are going to be raised up, and they're going to live in the New Jerusalem. I want to show you in Job, which is the book before Psalms, Job chapter 19. An amazing prophecy in the book of Job thousands of years before Christ. Look at verse 25. It says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Wow. How did Job know that? He's going to stand. You need feet to stand. "At the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Isn't that amazing? They're in the book of Job. Watch this. "Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another." Someone else isn't going to tell me their experience with God. I'm going to see Him for myself, though my reins be consumed within me. So Job is anticipating a future resurrection, bodily resurrection from the dead, to live with his Redeemer, to see Him face to face. That's what's going to happen. And that's what the New Jerusalem, that's why it's so large and so glorious. Be filled with His saints, glorifying Him. All right, let's move to the new temple, number four. We're going to experience a new heaven, a new earth, a new city, and a new temple. And it's not going to have an angel blowing a trumpet on the top. Not that kind of a temple. Not that kind of a temple. Nor will it have a fat guy you rub his belly and you walk in. Not that kind of a temple either. It'll be God's temple. Look back at Revelation chapter 21. In verse 22. "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Take that one in. "I saw no temple in this new city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb," sounds like two different titles, "are the temple." One. So the Almighty God and the Lamb are one and the same. And He's the temple. If any man be in Christ, He's the temple. I can't explain all that. I just thank God for it. I just believe God is... I try to believe God is a little child. Lord, I can't understand the marvels of your word. I just know you died for me. I trust in you. Save me from hell. Help me to follow you. And I see a marvelous thing like that. He's the temple. Okay? He's the temple. I'm in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And Acts chapter 17 was Paul. I won't have you turn there. I will have you turn to John chapter 10. But if you remember Paul preaching in Athens to the philosophically minded philosophers, I think there was Christopher Hitchens, great-great-great-great-granddaddy, and a bunch of other atheists. Anyway, he tells them that God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. You're not, a man doesn't build a temple for God to dwell in. He says in Isaiah 66, the heaven is my throne, the earth is the footstool. Where is the place that you build me? He is the eternal God. He came and visited his people in the temple. He uses the two temples in the future, third temple coming, to fulfill prophecy and to interact with people. But he doesn't dwell in a house made with hands permanently. But he will in the new temple. He is the new temple. Look at John chapter 10. Another illustration Jesus gives. He gives many illustrations to help us understand. And it'd be a good study. I want to do it of all the illustrations that Christ used, like the millstone. There's a huge millstone right there, and he points to him and says, if you offend a child, it'd be better for you to have a millstone cast about your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Christ used a lot of object lessons with him. But look at John chapter 10 and verse 25. He's calling himself a shepherd, the shepherd, and the believers, his sheep. It says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. If you have eternal life, it says, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Okay? So if you come to Christ, you're in his hand, right? Verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Okay? So there's two hands there. Okay, you're in the hand of Christ and the hand of the Father. And it says, the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple thereof. He is the temple. That's all I got to say about that. Now let's go back to Revelation. A new light. If you're a believer, you're going to experience a new heaven, a new earth, a new city, a new temple, and new light. Revelation 21. New light. And it says, verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. How many of you left your doors unlocked last night? Left your gates open, left your doors open? Huh? I locked mine, double locked it, right? Because there's sin, and there's darkness, and there's night, and there's thieves. The kingdom of darkness. The whole world lieth in wickedness. But in the new city, the gates are wide open. There is no sin. There's no darkness. And Christ is enthroned there. There is nothing to worry about in the new Jerusalem. Verse 26, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. A new light. Christ is the light. Remember when he gave his three apostles that vision on the hill of transfiguration? He gave them a preview of his coming kingdom in glorious light. Remember Saul, when he was converted, saw the vision of Christ and he was blinded by the glory of Christ. He will be the light of the new city, the new heaven, the new earth, the new city, the new temple, new light, and new water. Look at chapter 22. You won't need a big Berkey water filter. Chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. There's the connection between the Father and the Son. They are one. The throne, singular, of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, we'll stop there. The new water. Now look at one verse. Look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4. God gave us this water to keep our physical bodies alive for a while. But there is a water for the Spirit that gives everlasting life. Look at John chapter 4 and verse 13. He goes 3 days out of his way through Samaria to a woman there who's been married 5 times and living with another man. Someone we would say is unsavory. Maybe lift our nose at, but Jesus went out of his way to speak to her. Verse 15, the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water. Start at 13. Is that right? Yeah. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. You drink from the faucet or a water filter or a bottled water, you're going to get thirsty again. 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not. And you know the rest of the story. But Jesus has the everlasting water. And there in the New Jerusalem, there it is, a pure river of water of life. We'll be able to drink of that water and live forever. And also the new food. I don't know all the food that might be there, but I know that there's going to be the tree of life. Look at verse 2. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Those two go together, the tree of life and the curse. Do you remember why? Go back to, save your place there and go to Genesis chapter 3. The tree of life. If Adam and Eve would have eaten of the tree of life, they would have lived forever. God separated Adam and Eve from the tree of life, lest they live forever in a sinful condition. God did not make man to live in sin. God made man to be righteous and enjoy his presence and serve him and worship him and fellowship with him. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 2. In verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now go to Genesis chapter 3 and look at verse 22. It says, And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the, what? Tree of life. And eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden. He separated man from the tree of life, and now man would die. If we ate of the tree of life today, we'd live forever. But we'd live in sin, and that in a corrupted body, and that's not God's will. But we see in the New Jerusalem the tree of life for those who are redeemed. Interesting, to get access to a tree of life, Christ died on a tree of judgment, a tree of death. And so let's continue in verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly, Jesus says. I come quickly. You say it's been 2,000 years. Well, to God, it's been only like 2 days. To Him, it's just a couple days. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which had shown me these things. Then saith he to me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. That's a good reminder to all of us not to worship men or messengers. Worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Remember, he told Daniel to seal up the vision for the time until the time of the end. Knowledge shall be increased. Many shall run to and fro. He told Daniel to seal up the seven sealed book. But he says, Seal it not to John. Let the world know that I am coming. Verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. If he catches you unjust, you'll be unjust forever. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. If he comes back and catches people filthy in sin, they'll be filthy forever in the lake of fire. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He comes back, and those who are saved will be saved forever. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the holy city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. If you are a believer in Christ, you can put X, and then the one that describes you. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. I, Jesus, verse 16, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in the book. Don't mess with the Bible. Don't add a word, don't take a word away. It's a lot of fear and trembling. God says, To this man will I look, even to him that trembleth at my word, in Isaiah 66. Our attitude toward the Bible should be fear and trembling and awe that it came from God. People who mess with God's word, look what it says there. That's a fearful thing. Verse 20, He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. I hope this is your heart this morning. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So we finished seven new things in the eternal kingdom you have to look forward to if God is your Father. A new heaven, a new earth, a new city, a new temple, new light, new water, and new food. So let's pray and give God thanks and be dismissed.